Welcome to Write for Joy. I'm Allie Cross. I'm an author and happiness enthusiast. I've chased joy my whole life until one day I realized I already had it. Joy is all around us, so let's see if we can grab some of it for ourselves today. I'm Allie Cross, and this is Write for Joy. Hey everyone, welcome back. Today I'm joined by author Abigail O'Brien, and I'm already madly in love with her. We've only just met, but look at her. She's gorgeous and the best pink lipstick I've ever seen. I'm sorry, podcast listeners. You'll just have to go check out her website or something. I love her because not only does she seem bright and happy, but she writes dark fantasy, and she loves redemption stories. And those are, I mean, I think you can't really have a true redemption story without a little bit of darkness. So I am a fan. Sadly, her book does not come out until next August, but hopefully she'll write wonderful copy on her Instagram and wherever else. I'm putting the pressure on you now, Abigail, that we can get a taste of her writing before then. So welcome, Abigail.
Thanks for having me.
I am excited. And Abby also, I'm sorry, do you go by Abby ever? I'm just calling you Abby.
I usually go by Abigail, but
okay. I'm a chronic name shortener and it is problematic. So I could never have named a child like a single syllable name because I wouldn't have known what to do with myself. I would be shortening it to I don't know. It would be bad. So Abigail it is. I can do that. So Abigail has two little kids. And I'm curious, in your bio, Abigail, you say you would hold as many flowers as you could hold. Mm-hmm. So can you expound on that a little bit, please?
For anyone who's familiar with Howl's Moving Castle, I really resonate with the character of Sophie, because in my heart, I am an old woman who just stomps around and wants to be surrounded by flowers. Like, my idea of well-being is like walking out of my house and just gathering all of the flowers into my arms, and like makes me so happy. So
I love it.
I'm working on a cut flower garden, but it's more like a wilderness in my yard right now, but or maybe like an insect paradise slash right? Like reservation, like something.
So I've just learned that Abigail lives not very far from me. So I'm very familiar with her gardening efforts, or, you know, because they're fairly typical across the Salt Lake Valley, which is that we have the worst dirt ever. And it takes a small village's worth of water to keep a flower garden going. So I feel your pain. I'm so sorry. But I now have a fairly successful perennial garden happening. My daisies love this. So, you know, if nothing else, you can come over and I'll give you an armload of daisies, because right about now they are everything. And soon I'm going to need to start cutting them back because they're quite excited.
Hey, be careful. I'll pick you up on that. I love flowers so much.
You know, so do I. And so but I do not have a green thumb. So if you have one, I admire you. But I've also been trying to grow a garden for so long. But I love the imagery that you painted in the way you described your sense, what brings well-being. When we moved here, I told a landscaper that I basically wanted an English garden in my backyard. Like that, the idea of walking out in lush green and like winding down a path that was like almost covered by moss, and with you could sit here or you could sit there and nobody would know where you were, and as you were just surrounded by greenery and flowers. And he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Nova
This
Scotia."
is literally what I'm trying to do. Oh
And
my
so, for
gosh,
those who
that's
don't know, Nova Scotia is above Maine and out in the ocean. So, green is not a problem. In fact, no one has sprinklers, certainly not automatic underground sprinklers in Nova Scotia. Green patches are not the issue. And he was sort of like, "I'm so sorry to tell you, but it will not be possible to achieve, not down in the valley. Maybe if you were up in the mountains or something here in Utah, but it just doesn't happen." So good luck to you, Abigail. So we are actually here to talk about Abigail, not about my challenges with gardens. But Abigail's is her story that she is coming out. Does it have a title yet, Abigail?
yeah, it's called Iron Rose.
Ooh. So it is a reimagining of Beauty and the Beast. So writers everywhere, girls who particularly, but guys too, who grew up loving Beauty and the Beast because it wasn't just another Disney princess story. And also because couldn't we all relate to Belle as readers? You know, we're trying to find our spot in the garden to just read our book. Everyone everywhere who loves books should just like rush out, make sure they follow all of Abigail's places, primarily Instagram, and so that you know the moment her book is available, because it's going to be one to read, I'm sure. So, Abigail, after that very long and strange introduction, is there anything that you would like to tell us about yourself or your books?
Yeah, that's pretty broad. But for myself, I actually wrote this book primarily in high school and college. It has been revised since then. But that's when it happened. And now I am a stay-at-home mom, and it is a different world to be writing right now. Just a totally different stage of life. But when I'm not writing, I'm playing board games. My husband and I love to host board game nights
Oh,
and
fun.
just like play D&D also. So the nerd things, we enjoy most of the nerd things. I love Legend of Zelda.
Oh,
Like
boy.
most of the universe, I think. I would say my other main creative outlet is music. I sing and I play the cello and I also dance.
Oh,
So
wow.
I really
Do you get to do any of those things for other people anymore?
So I have, I don't know if people are familiar with the term church plant. It just means, in the like traditional Christian tradition, when a new church is started, it's called a church plant. And usually they don't have, musicians at that time, or they only really have one person to lead the music. And so they get burnt out pretty quickly. And so in the area that I live in, I will go and I will play cello and lead worship via song for church plants whenever they
That's
need it.
amazing.
So it's really fun. And occasionally I'll play like classical music for events, but that's, you know, I have, as I've gotten older, I've begun to embrace that basically that I have many different parts And at no point in my life are all of my parts going to be realized. That
Yeah.
there's always going to be a time where cello is on top and that part is like being expressed. And then there are other times where writing is going to be there, and other times when it's going to be me being a mom, and then other times it's going to be me running a D&D group. Like those are all parts of me, and they just all can't show up at the same time, and that's okay.
I'm feeling that one pretty hard because I feel like I was. I feel like I can't say I am, but I was an opera singer. That's what I went to university for, and that's where I worked for 10 years. It was very cool, and then I had babies. And because it took us a very long time to have babies, 10 years. So by the time they came around, I didn't want to do the circuit kind of thing. But my accompanist was he was an organist as well as a pianist, and he was at a different church all the time playing for them because he was sort of like a sub, I guess. But there aren't a lot of organists anymore. And some churches, like Catholic, Anglican, really rely on traditional organ music. And that's hard to get. So he was going around doing that. But I have often struggled with the like, how can I incorporate, because I miss music. And how can I incorporate it? I'm currently the choir director of my church, but sadly, in my church, choir is not, I mean, I love it, but it's not a place to show off your talent in that way. It's more a way of gathering community kind of thing. Because you don't have to sing well to sing in a choir and feel the spirit of the music and everything. But I personally have felt like, how can I be my whole self? And so I mean, what you said makes perfect sense, even from a scriptural sense, you know, time and a season and everything. But I think I needed to hear that today. So thank you, because I'm here now and I need to be glad and grateful for where I am now and glad and grateful for what I. For my experiences. And you know, so thank you for that. And I would really love to come and hear you perform sometimes. So I might need to like start stalking you and find out what church you're going to be at so that I can come and be lifted up and in worship through music with you. 'Cause I mean, any musician I'm sure would agree that is where God lives in music. Like, it's just amazing. Sometimes I feel him in my writing, but not nearly as much as singing sacred
Yeah.
music, whatever.
I would say I rarely like I rarely like feel the presence of God as I'm like sitting down at my laptop. I feel like mostly it comes from just like all of the frantic prayers of like I need an answer to this. Like, how do I solve this plot problem? Or like, I need this character to speak to me and they're not, and all of those things. And then like when those moments of, I wouldn't even say like inspiration, because it's not like, ah, yes, and now I'm like doing all of the like typing out a huge story about it. But like when those little moments come where it's like, oh, now I can move forward where I was stuck. That always feels like, I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of co-creation that from Tolkien. This and the idea of like being sub-creators, and this idea kind of like regardless of what your faith tradition is, like if you believe that there is a creator or a creative force. It's that idea that like there was a creative force, or there is a creative force, and that we get to like live into our truest selves when we are also creating, because we're like taking part of the divine, basically.
I feel that completely and agree. Oh shoot, I was going to ask you something. What was it? Thank goodness for recorded video so that I didn't have to start. Oh, darn it. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I realized as you were talking that writing is a lot like the time spent practicing music. However, we don't really get the payoff of the performance, at least not in the same sense. It's a much slower and softer thing because, you get the first high if you're accepted by a publisher or an agent and then a publisher. But then it really comes down to how the audience is going to receive it. It's like getting a really like a world famous coach. That's like your agent or publisher. But it still comes down to the audience. Are they going to get to their feet in appreciation of what you just gave them? And so that's why writing is so hard because it's practice. Like even when we're writing this story, it's the hard work of practice. And just like a cellist, I'm sure you have practiced till you had blisters, or maybe you bled even. I don't know. I never played a string instrument, but I did go to a music school where I was surrounded all the time by other people who played different instruments. And the level of dedication and hard work that goes into perfecting that craft is profound. And I think if we took that same thinking and put it into our writing world, we might feel more patient with ourselves and more willing to push ourselves until we got it right. Whereas I think a lot of times when we're writing, we allow some okay that maybe wouldn't hold muster if you then had to perform it on stage the next day or whatever. But it is also kind of sad because we don't get the applause. And I love being a writer, but I miss the applause because it's immediate. It's very gratifying. You feel it. Like you can literally feel applause through the stage and into your bones and body. So it's visceral and real. Whereas writing doesn't really do that. Now, I know you're still sort of early in your career, but do you have any thoughts on that? Like, I don't know. Anything popping for you that you're like this yes or no, or what do you think? How do you think you would deal with that need for feedback that you've gotten so far by with music, very immediate and very gratifying, as compared to this sort of slow burn of a book release?
It can be really tricky, especially I feel like I have to go further back. So my publishing journey has not been how I would have hoped. I finished Iron Rose when I was a junior in college, and then I went on to query it for years, with just no traction. And that was really hard. And I mean, I did like pitch wars and all like, all the extracurricular kind of things. And I feel like kind of by the books, I was like doing everything that I should be doing, and it just got nowhere. And that feeling, unlike music, whenever you perform and then you get that immediate feedback, this I just kind of lost my faith in like the quality of the story. And eventually I set it aside just for my own good because it was really like draining my soul. It was something that was so near and dear to me and like such a deep dream of mine. I'm trying not to get too choked up. That it was just too much to like be putting all of this time and effort in and for it to go nowhere. And so I actually feel like there was kind of like a resurrection with that. I felt very seen when things did start happening with my story. And I felt like that validation. So it was like sort of the applause kind of thing. Just when there's a friend of mine, actually, she's an author of the Calculated series, Nova McBee. I met her before she was an author, but we met in a writing group in Scotland, actually, as one does.
That's where I pick
And
up all my writing friends, is
yeah,
in Scotland.
totally, totally. Yeah, Nova is a complete unicorn. Everyone should know her. She's amazing. And she held a candle for my story for a decade.
Oh.
And that I'm gonna cry. And honestly, like that gave me faith to like revisit it and be like, okay, Nova is a good writer, and she's not. You know, there are some people who are like they're nice, but they're just sort of like nice to be nice. And then there are other people where it's like they're like they always try to be nice, but like if they don't believe in something, they'll tell you. And she's more of the latter. And so I was like, if she still cares about this story, it's because she thinks it's good. And
Plus, to
so
know
I was.
someone is out there who has that, who has no reason to love and support to do something so faithfully and is a sometimes that's all we need is just someone besides ourselves or our husband or our best friend or whatever to hold a candle to say, keep going, I believe in you. How wonderful that you met someone like that, because they're hard to find. And good on you, Nova McPhee, for being such an awesome friend and supporter and light that it kept Abigail going. So we can all be grateful for that.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe in my journey so far, I would say that it's not so much, you know, like immediate thunderous applause kind of stuff, but it's been like more of the like individual cheerleaders along the way, that just kind of like remind me that like I guess pull me out a little bit and be like, okay, someone who is not biased loves this story and felt deeply impacted by it, and like these characters stayed with them. And there's no reason for that except for if the story is actually good. They don't owe it to me. And so, like, those little kind of bits along the way, those affirmations, I think, have started to build me up in such a way that I'm like, okay. And now, as I am venturing into writing another book while I'm in a very different stage of life, the knowledge that I'm like, okay, I was able to do that. And I was able to do that when I was younger and also like hadn't gotten my degree in creative writing yet and like didn't have a super great sense of like story structure, and like I came back and revised all of that in there, but I'm like starting at a much better place, but just remembering like the affirmations of like, okay, I can do this. Because there are people along the way who I feel like have been applauding me at like these critical moments, so I can carry on.
I love that, and I think it says a lot about perseverance and that even though the road is hard, There can be bright lights, reasons to keep going. And also, don't be afraid to share your story because you never know when you will find a reader who loves your story and will help be that solid foundation, the one who's going to hold you up so that you can reach for your dream. I feel like I'm feeling joy in all of these different things. And I'm so careful to get, like, I gave Abigail a structure of how this was going to go. But it's okay. We can go, we're just winging it. That's what we do here. So I feel like I got a sense of one way that you experience or have experienced joy in your journey. You said you love redemption stories, and for me, joy is often, it is the rainbow after the storm kind of thing. It is the thing that we know we can make it through the storm because there will be sunlight afterwards. That's kind of to me what joy means. And you've just described that beautifully. How do you define joy?
I feel like there's a couple, I feel like a couple ways I would define joy. One is just like when you really enjoy something, you know, it's just like it's something good. It's a candle that you love. It's a plant. This is Agatha, my writing plant right here. She brings me joy. And so I feel like there are like those little either like physical or just small experiences that are joy. And then there's also, I would probably define it as like a resonance in your own personal identity, like in your depths, you personally, whenever you're doing something or experiencing something that kind of resonates on the same frequency, where you're like, I'm either fully living out like this part of me, or like I get to explore something that makes me feel alive, me personally, not just everyone, but me. And so, like we were talking earlier about, like, I want to just wrap my arms around as many flowers as possible. I just want them all in my arms. And I feel like that's something like there are other people in the world, I'm sure, who feel like that. But for me, that feels like a uniquely, like, when I have my arms wrapped around a bunch of blooms, there's something that is like uniquely Abigail that's being fed. And for me, that's joy.
That's beautiful. So, do you ever tell us about if you experience that in your writing ever? And if not, where do you find joy then in your writing? Because we've already talked about how it's really, really hard work. And sometimes we do it until our figurative fingers bleed. So, where in that process is joy for you?
Oh, that's a little, it feels a little tough in this moment to answer that because I'm writing a first draft, which is not where I find joy in my writing process. I think for me, the joy is coming back and editing and revising because I get to look through and be like, ooh, this is a nice thread. I've noticed that it's come up twice. And if I add this here and do this thing here, and then I like wrap it up here, it's gonna be a great theme. And like, I love that. And so getting to come in and I feel like breathe life into something, I have a hard time building the skeleton. You need a skeleton. Or like, I think of like the creation myth that comes out of like Judaism and Christianity, where it's like in the garden, basically like God took piles of mud and like formed human forms and then breathed life into them. I feel like I'm in the like mud stage where I'm just sort of like hauling chunks of mud and putting it together and
Right. You're
hoping that
trying
it
to make
becomes.
things grow in sandy Utah.
Yeah.
You're planting seeds in really, really, really hard clay ground that has almost zero nutrients in it.
Yes. But the breathing life part into it, where like the characters start to come to life, where you see that they're growing and changing and
Where you get to feed the soil and the plants, and you can stake them to help them grow
yeah.
stronger, or, I don't know, do those gardeny things. I'm not a good gardener, to get those blooms that you wanted.
Yes. So for me, I feel like I love a lot of the writing process and I find a lot of joy. Like I really in outside life, I really enjoy deep conversations. Like I want to know what I want people to tell me what they want someone to know about themselves. And I want them to tell me like what they wish someone knew about their lives right now. It's like if they don't want to tell me their favorite color or band, that's fine. But if they do want to tell me that they, some deep thing about themselves that people don't ask, I want to know that. And that's part of why Iron Rose is actually a multiple perspective book, is because I, as a reader, always want to know all the things, and
Me
especially when there's
too.
love, I'm like, what does she think about it? How is she seeing this situation? What does he think about it? I want to know what he thinks. And so this, I got to like just indulge in all of those things in Iron Rose.
Oh, I love that so much. I listen to books more than I read them nowadays. And so and it just happened the other day. I was listening. It was a romance. And the chapter came to an end, and I was so ready for her to tell me the man's point of view. And there wasn't, because I didn't know, because I hadn't, it wasn't in front of me, so I couldn't tell that it,
Right.
and I was, it was a good book, but I had this moment of disappointment because I didn't want to know the next thing that happened in her life or whatever. I wanted to to stay in that moment a little bit longer with the guy's perspective. So I love that. I totally understand and get that. I'm so excited and I'm very disappointed that your book is so far away.
Me
I'm very
too.
much an instant gratification person. I want to go read it right now. But I can't wait to read it because of the way you express yourself and what you're saying brings you joy. That tells us that those things are going to be present in your book. You're going to be the writer who isn't afraid to feel, like to let her characters feel, because that's important to you, not just the typical character sketch that we do that asks like what's their favorite color and what was their favorite subject in school. You want to know what was their most embarrassing moment and what is, what do they wish they could accomplish even though they keep failing at all of these things or whatever. You're gonna go beyond the flesh and bone to the heart. And I'm so excited because that's the kind of story I love. And who doesn't love a fairy tale, especially Beauty and the Beast? I mean, really, you couldn't have picked a better one to start with because from a marketing perspective, I think you're going to have the broadest audience for that. But then to read one that allows us to go really deep, because fairy tales are often, pretty surface because we don't. They weren't written originally for this purpose, but I'm really excited for you, Abigail, and I'm excited for myself and anyone else who gets to read your books. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your experience here today. I definitely am leaving with things to think about for my own life, and I'm totally selfish. And if the show achieved nothing else but to give me something to think about, but I don't think it'll just be me. So, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we say goodbye that we didn't get to talk about?
I guess just like a quick thing about Iron Rose is that there's a lot of adventure, there're sword fights, escapes, there's like hard won love. There's great like deep familial bonds, and there's a villain that you will want to die. And there's some fun magic
Ooh,
also.
fun. Exciting.
So, if you love Beauty and the Beast, this will be a book that you also love. If you love Hunger Games, this is also going to be a book that you love.
Nice. It's
And then,
Hunger Games meets Beauty and the Beast. That's quite the pitch.
yeah, well, the concept, I was telling you a little bit before that, my retelling was born out of a couple questions that I had about the fairy tale that I just couldn't reconcile. And one of them was like, what kind of Belle character could actually fall in love with a beast? Because you have to like not be scared of them. You have to be in the same room as them. And my answer to that was like someone who has seen worse things, and this is not her biggest problem. So that'll give you an idea of who the Belle character is.
Nice.
Yeah, and if you guys want to follow my journey and see flowers and like, hear me give writing tips and also generally be like a energetic and curmudgeonly old soul, then I am on Instagram. And also, please sign up for my newsletter if you want to get to know me even better and get a taste of my writing before stuff comes out. There will also be some exclusive goodies
Nice.
to be determined
Well,
that
and
will go along with my
we,
newsletter.
as subscribers to your newsletter, would certainly be the first to know when we could put in our pre-order or when we could have the books in our hot little hands. So, and we want to support new and upcoming authors. So we should all just go sign up for all things Abigail O'Brien, and make sure that you have such an amazing launch. I hope that your launch feels like standing on a stage and getting a standing ovation.
You are so
That is
kind.
my
Thank
goal for
you.
you. I hope you get it. I believe you can. And I'm so glad to have met you and to have heard about your story, but about you and the things that are important to you, because I know that those things are going to show up in your books, and that's very appealing. So, thank you for taking the time to be here today, Abigail. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in, for watching or listening. I'm very grateful for you. And this episode is probably going to air a few months down the road. So I really hope that by now there's lots and lots of you so that Abigail can have a wonderful response. So thank you, Abigail.
Thank you, Allie. I appreciate this so much. You're such a delightful human. Thanks for
It
having
was
me.
fun. Thanks for coming. Bye, everybody.